Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, Ryan Sprigg here, host of Somewhere in the Skies. If you've ever thought about supporting us, we have great two easy options for you right now. If you listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, you can click the subscribe button at the top of your Apple feed. Or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/somewhereskies. Both of these options give you the same benefits. Early access to the main show, bonus episodes and content, and priority to ask our guests your listener questions. So, to help support Somewhere in the Skies, click that subscribe button on Apple or visit patreon.com/somewhereskies. Thank you so much for your support, and keep looking up. Throughout the history of reported UFO encounters, many recurring details have been noted, such things as power failures or temperature changes, and even trace evidence left behind on the ground. But one of the most interesting details is that of animal reactions. Sightings that have resulted in sudden agitation or nervousness from household pets to both wild and farm animals. Or, at the other end of the spectrum, sightings that have resulted in injury to these animals. And sometimes, even more tragically, death.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprigg.
According to an article in an October 1999 edition of the Richmond Times-Dispatch in Virginia, on the evening of August 9th, 1966, Henrico County Sheriff A.D. Toby Matthews witnessed something in the skies. Matthews claimed that on the moonlit night, when he was a road sergeant with Henrico Police, he witnessed a large unidentified flying object that was hovering silently near his farm. He stated the following to the newspaper.
It was about 10:30 p.m., and I had just returned home from a psychology class at the Richmond Progressional Institute. That's when I heard my German Shepherd, who was chained up outside, begin to bark loudly. I immediately headed outside to see what he was barking at. As soon as I unchained him, he ran toward the edge of a cornfield.
That's when Matthews looked above the corn and into the skies above.
I saw a strange white object hovering just above some power lines over the cornfield. It was around 30 feet wide, cylindrical, with a dome on top. It was completely silent. I was still in the military reserve at the time, and that object did not appear to be any type of military craft that I had ever seen before.
After taking a moment to gather his thoughts, he ran back inside the house to retrieve his flashlight. When he returned outside, he immediately shined it towards the object. As soon as the flashlight's beam hit it, the craft turned before sending out a flash of bright light itself, and it seemed as though the craft was almost revving up.
It took off like a bullet, tremendously fast.
Satisfied that the craft had disappeared for good, Matthews returned his dog to his pen and went inside. The following morning, at around 5 a.m., Matthews went back outside and let the dog out to stretch its legs, as he would do every morning. However, on this particular morning, the dog failed to return. Matthews immediately went out to search, but found nothing. When he returned home, he could see the dog just beyond his circular driveway, but it was a sight that he wished he hadn't seen.
He was lying motionless in the middle of the road. I ran to him, but it was already too late. He was dead.
While it was certainly tragic and shocking, Matthews did have the wherewithal to examine the dog and noticed several odd things.
There were no marks on him, no blood, no singe marks, no signs of being run over or attacked by anything, just nothing. Even stranger, his chain collar was missing. I just couldn't make any sense of it.
Ultimately, Matthews believed that something connected to the UFO he had seen the night before was responsible for the death of the German Shepherd.
Leaving his lifeless body there on the road, it was a message to let me know they were there, what they were capable of.
No explanation was ever found for the death of the dog. Although Matthews didn't make an official report of the incident, he did speak with a fellow police officer who had seen a similar saucer-shaped object a month prior at the state fairgrounds in Virginia. The officer in question urged Matthews to report the encounter. However, he declined to do so. Of even further interest, during the same spring and summer of 1996, in this part of Virginia, more than a dozen reports of saucer-shaped objects were made, including three from police officers. So it was clear something truly bizarre was happening in that area and around the same time. What it was and what it allegedly may have done to Matthew's German Shepherd remains a tragic mystery. During the early hours of July 20th, 1968, in Claremont, New Hampshire, several local residents witnessed a strange object moving over the town. At around 1 a.m., a manufacturing plant worker was returning home to his garden, carrying two buckets of water. As he did so, he witnessed a bright, round object floating in a gentle arc low in the sky to the northeast. He would elaborate that the object appeared similar to a full moon, but was very low in the sky. The object eventually disappeared behind some nearby trees. The witness estimated it was visible for around 2 minutes. Around an hour later, at 2 a.m., a husband and wife were about to retire to bed when they noticed an object that they recalled as dome-shaped moving across the sky. The object was so low, around only 10 feet above the ground, that they could easily estimate its size to be around 20 feet across. They would later state that the object was moving slowly, causing shadows on some freshly cut hay below. Then, out of nowhere, the object shone a bright beam of light toward the ground, immediately causing their pet dogs to become agitated and anxious, which, in turn, caused their children to become very restless. In fact, the couple's children seemingly went through a very bizarre experience. Their mother would recall that they were crying out in their sleep as if something was hurting them, adding that they were both usually very sound sleepers who almost always slept through the night. At the same time, the two dogs, a German Shepherd and a poodle, were both whimpering and whining and acting like the two children, almost as if something was hurting them as well. The couple recalled that they both felt isolated and terrified throughout this experience. Several minutes after the object appeared, it moved about 10 feet to the east and then simply hovered motionless. It would remain there for a startling 2.5 hours until 4:30 a.m., when it began to hum very loudly. At the same time, the object's brightness grew in intensity. When the object finally disappeared into the distance, both of the dogs as well as the children settled down and returned to normal. Also of note is that while the object hovered overhead, the wife began hearing sounds throughout the house. She would say that any other night, it wouldn't have meant a thing, but on this night, They were terrifying. Were these sounds in the witness's imagination? Were they simply noises with rational explanations? Or might they have been indeed connected to the craft outside their home? This case remains a mystery. According to an article in the November-December 1974 edition of the APRO Bulletin, on the evening of July 22, 1974, one Mr. and Mrs. L. had just returned home in Quebec, Canada, from a holiday in Florida. Mrs. L. had been so tired that she went straight to bed. Mr. L., on the other hand, remained in the living room area of their house trailer in order to watch a late-night television program. As it happened, although there were other house trailers on this plot of land, Mr. and Mrs. L. were the only family at the site that night. By the time the television show Mr. L. was watching had finished at around 1:15 a.m., he turned the television off and prepared to go to bed. But that's when he heard a strange bumping sound, as if something had been dropped on the ground outside. He walked to the window and pulled the curtain back enough to peek outside. To his surprise, he could see a reddish-orange round object that was hovering over one of the fields opposite the trailer. At this point, Mr. L. rushed into the bedroom to wake his wife. As he did so, he heard another sound, this time like a buzzing. He quickly looked outside once more, and he was stunned to be greeted with the sight of a robot-like creature. He recalled that it was around 6 feet tall and was barely 15 feet away from the trailer. By now, his wife was awake, and the couple rushed back to the living room and looked out the window. To their shock, three more of the robot-like creatures were outside of the trailer. These creatures were seemingly examining one of the other nearby trailers, paying particular attention to the wheels. The couple remained in their trailer, peeking out of the window every few minutes to see if the creatures were still there. At one point, they counted around 15 robots outside, each looking around as if on some kind of reconnaissance mission. They remained outside in varying numbers until about 4:30 in the morning. Mr. and Mrs. L. watched until they both fell asleep from both shock and exhaustion. They awoke the next morning to discover what appeared to be landing marks on the ground, where Mr. L. had seen the object hovering over the field, suggesting that it had indeed landed. They also learned that one of their neighbors, a farmer, had found his dog hiding and nervous the following day, as if it had witnessed something completely out of the ordinary that night. This episode of Somewhere in the Skies is brought to you by Absurd by Design. Artist Miguel Romero brings your imagination to life with custom artwork in his meticulous and unique style. Whether it's book covers, promotional ads, special gifts, or even podcast logos, Miguel works with you directly to create a piece of art for any occasion or project. Commissions are now open, so be sure to check out his work and get Absurd by Design. Visit absurdbydesign.wordpress.com or visit the link in the show notes. Thank you to Absurd by Design.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
At around 4 a.m. on February 18th, 1977, in Salto, Uruguay, 52-year-old Angel Tona and his foreman, Juan Fernandez, were guiding around 80 cows toward the barn for milking. As Tona herded them into the barn, however, the lights suddenly went out. At the same time, an extremely bright light appeared near the far side of the barn. At first, he believed that the hay in the barn had somehow caught on fire. He rushed to the far side of the barn to investigate. That's when he heard a very loud noise and saw something that stopped him in his tracks.
It was a fire disc, like two plates put face to face. It was hovering a short distance above the ground. I just stood there mesmerized, watching it.
That's when the voice of Fernandez broke Tuna's daze. He had alerted Tona that the cows were running away. All the while, the dogs on the farm were barking frantically. The object began to move away from the barn, breaking branches from a nearby tree as it did so.
It moved in a rocking motion. It came to a stop and hovered directly over the trees near the barn. Then it started to move again, only this time it stopped above the concrete baths that were used to disinfect the cattle.
By now, with the events more than shaking Tona, he ran back toward the barn and climbed over the fence, looking to take some kind of cover. His dog, Topo, following quickly behind him. The light from the object was so bright that the entire barnyard and surrounding area was completely lit up. Then, things took a particularly strange turn.
I felt a strange attraction to the light, compelled to walk toward it. As I did so, the craft turned and began to move toward me.
While Tona remained where he was, Topo ran toward the object, barking furiously. Topo stopped at a small mound and looked upward toward the object. The dog then let out a piercing howl.
The craft passed directly over Topo and then stopped. There were three beams of light on each side of the craft that looked like small wings.
A sudden electric shock-like feeling and an intense heat surged through Tona. At this point, he covered his face with his hands in an effort to protect himself from the electrifying heat. Eventually, the object began to move away from him, increasing in speed as it did so. The faster it moved, the more the color changed from a bright orange to a dark red. The craft moved further and further away, until it disappeared into the distance. As soon as it had left, Tona could hear the generator in his home restart. However, as all of the power lines had been burnt out during the encounter, the building still remained without power. Tona also didn't know at the time, but his 19-year-old son, Tulio, had also witnessed the events from one of the windows in the house. While several other farmers from nearby farms, although not witnessing the events themselves, did later confirm they had seen the strange orange-red light heading off into the distance. Although the incident itself was over, there were still some after-effects of the encounter to come, one of which was particularly grim.
Later that morning, I began noticing that the side of my hand and arm that had faced the object when I shielded my face, it was aching very badly. After several days, a doctor came to the farm to examine my arm. By this point, my entire arm and hand were a dark red and very irritated. After closer examination, the doctor told me that whatever it was most likely caused by exposure to radiation.
The doctor would advise Tona to seek the help of a specialist. However, he would decline, due to the nearest specialist being some 300 miles away. Ultimately, Tona treated the arm himself with home remedies. After several weeks, his arm returned to normal, and he suffered no further pain or irritation from it. His dog, Topo, however, was a different story.
Topo stopped eating and drinking. He was not himself, staying inside the house all the time, which was very rare. Then, 3 days later, after the incident, I could not find him in the house. I yelled for him and searched for him. That's when I discovered him lying on the very mound outside where he had howled at the object in the sky. When I got closer, there was no doubt. Topo was dead.
When the autopsy was performed, some unsettling discoveries were made. The doctors found that the hair along the animal's spine was sticky but completely hard. What's more, the fat under the skin was found on the outside. The doctor concluded that in order for the fat to have been on the outside, it had to be melted and come through the pores, where it then solidified again. This heat, however, almost appeared to be generated internally, as the outer skin of the animal showed no burn marks or exposure to heat. Ultimately, the poor canine had been exposed to an extremely high temperature, which had resulted in the blood vessels breaking down, resulting in intense internal bleeding. Furthermore, again, due to the high heat, the dog's liver, normally dark red, was a sickly yellow color. While the official report didn't blame the UFO for causing the dog's death, if we accept Tona's version of events corroborated by his son, Tullio, then there is a possibility that the source of that fatal heat came from the strange craft they had witnessed in the skies. Around 8 months after the encounter in Uruguay, another bizarre encounter unfolded. According to an article in the January 7, 1978 edition of the Moline Daily Dispatch, an 18-year-old woman in Walcott, Iowa, who wished to remain anonymous, witnessed a strange and mysterious object moving over the town in complete silence. The witness was at work, manning the watchtower as security at one of the town's power plants. It was then that she noticed an oval-shaped object with what looked like bright headlights on the front. As the object headed in her direction, her radio and walkie-talkie suddenly ceased working. Even more disturbing, the sounds of the cows and other wildlife in the surrounding area suddenly grew silent. She stood, overlooking her surroundings from the watchtower, noticing that lights and televisions in nearby properties were turning off everywhere. At this point, any outside hope that the object was nothing more than a helicopter or something prosaic vanished. Not least, as she could still not hear the typical sounds of a helicopter, and she left the post to find other witnesses. By the time she had returned, however, the object was no longer there. Just what the object might have been remains unknown. The detail of the cattle and other wildlife suddenly growing silent is of particular interest. Did they actually grow silent? Or could it have been that the witness and all of those in a certain radius were placed in some kind of bubble that isolated them from the outside world? There are, in fact, many UFO encounters on record where witnesses speak of a change in atmosphere, almost as if they have been placed in some kind of bubble. Whatever the object was, and how it affected the witness, remains a mystery. At around 10 p.m. on May 1st, 2003, in Seattle, Washington, husband and wife, Jacob and Patricia, had just pulled their car into their driveway and were making their way inside their house when something strange caught their eye. Patricia, who had reported the encounter, claimed the following.
There was a craft, triangular. It had dim, orange lights at each corner. They were striped rather than solid. This triangle was moving silently across the sky. We watched the triangle for several minutes before it finally disappeared towards the northeast of downtown Seattle.
While they saw nothing more of the strange triangular craft, they did notice some strange behavior displayed by their dog, who had been in the front yard during the sighting.
Our dog Lulu was usually very active and vibrant, but during and after the triangle passed over us, she was constantly trembling. She also became very lethargic. For several hours after the sighting, she was very unsteady on her feet, losing her balance several times. Luckily, this passed, but she then became extremely restless for several days after.
Following a report to the National UFO Reporting Center, investigators would speak to Patricia and Jacob at length. Both were found to be exceptionally reliable witnesses, and ultimately, the case was viewed as both very credible and completely unexplainable. Many UFO encounters have resulted in animals suffering severe agitation, anxiety, and even death. And these were merely a handful of cases, with many others on record. And while most of these incidents appear to be animals being in the wrong place at the wrong time, some encounters do appear to be more purposeful. But purposeful or not, if these animals suffered such tragic and unfortunate consequences of close proximity interaction with these mysterious craft in the sky, then the same could possibly be true for humans as well. Ultimately, cases of animal reactions are just as important as cases that are rich in detail from human witnesses, all of which contribute increasingly finer details to the mystery that is UFOs. A mystery that we continue to unravel somewhere in the skies. This episode was written and researched by Marcus Loth. To learn more, visit UFOinsight.com. Special thanks to our voiceover talents in this episode: Amy Murphy, Andrew Sanford, and Miguel Romero. Links to their work can be found in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter at Somewhere Skies and on Instagram at Somewhere Skies Pod. Please take just a few moments to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It truly does help us gain visibility and find new listeners. Thank you for listening. And remember, keep your feet on the ground, but never stop searching somewhere in the skies.
Somewhere in the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.